Let's go, John.
World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning. Is it Friday the 13th? Sure feels like it, kind of around here. We got the concert going on around us. And man. Hey, get ready. We're going to take some communion. Joe's not with us this morning. Joe's in Denmark. So I'm going to try to cover that duty. And I feel bad. I should have got somebody out there. Let you get involved and do it. I apologize. Not going to do that here at the last minute. And man, a lot going on. A lot going on. And I would imagine how many, if I would ask you right now, raise your hand and say, we stand in need of prayer. I imagine a lot of hands would go up. And as I just said in the pre-show, that our family, we stand in need of prayer today. So if you guys would just, do we really believe that? Do you really, when you say, I'll pray for you, brother, do you do it? Do you really do it? Do we really do it? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm praying for you, brother. Are you really? And, you know, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've been all through that. Spencer, I'm sorry, it's Johnny this morning. Johnny, if you can, just as we were going live, Romans 5 popped up into my head. And so, John, if you pull that up there for me. Why is life so hard? Why is life so hard? And I like to use the illustration that it's like a little football coach. Two-a-day football practice. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Others don't. Two-a-day football practices. When you first start practicing at the beginning of the year, out in the heat, two-a-days, you come in early and practice. We would come in and we would have a morning practice at, like, if it started at 7 a.m., really, we would make him get up early, start at 7 a.m., we would practice for about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, we'd take a break, let him eat a little bit of food, get a little bit of drink in him, take about a two-hour break, and then go out and do it again. It's called two-a-days, two-a-days. In the military, what do they call that in the military? Boot camp, summer camp, and all of it, the whole purpose of it was to strengthen the guys. So, you know, we would run them in sprints. I'd say, you're going to thank me someday. You're going to thank me, man. You may hate me now, but you're going to thank me. You know, that's Romans 5. Did you know that? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, the glory of God. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What? We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The Bible talks about working out your own salvation, working it out. And patience worketh experience. And experience brings hope. Meaning, I've been through this before, I'm going to get through it. Tribulation does that to you. It brings patience. Tribulation brings patience. You're praying for your son. You're praying for your spouse. You're praying for whatever it would be. It's, you plant, you water, and you wait. Plant, water, wait. Boy. So the glory in tribulation doesn't mean you're excited about the tribulation. The glory means at the end of it, you're victorious. You're victorious. We are victorious in tribulation. Knowing that running those gases, those sprints, and doing those push-ups, doing those jumping jacks, worketh patience in us. And patience, man, worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad on our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look, whatever you're going through, you're going through. Going through. When I first learned Romans 5, Johnny, pull it up. Maybe it would be in, I don't know, the NIV or something like one of those fancy ones. See what it says. Bear with us here, folks. I'm on a roll here a minute. Let's see. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, do this for me, Johnny. Pull up the Message. The Message Bible. I know it's not through Scripture. I get it. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He's already thrown open His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting praise. But there's more to come. We continue to shout praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. Anybody out there hemmed in with troubles? Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that passionate patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Wow, this is good. Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. An alert expectancy such as this, we never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. So some of you out there today, you're doing push-ups and you're running sprints and you're doing gassers and you're wearing out. But the Lord would say, thank Him for it. Patience worketh character, and character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. Man. Doesn't disappoint. Grab your elements, if you will. I'm sorry, Johnny. Yeah, get your element. We're going to take communion here real quickly. Pull up number one for me real quick so I forget that. I don't want to forget this, John. I'm going to be part of an event in Hillsboro, Ohio tomorrow. A tribute to Charlie Kirk and Biblical Values. Saturday, September 20th, 12 p.m. on the sidewalk in front of the courthouse. Just had a thought. Who was it that started the idea that the church wasn't supposed to be involved with politics? Who started that idea? You go back and you check the founders. We know that our American government was formed under Christianity. We know that the 13 original colonies were all formed according to denominations. We know what it says in the Declaration of Independence. We know what it says in the Constitution. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, it says. What happened to that? What happened to what Christian values totally, completely removed? Pull this up real quick. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I'm going to take communion. Pull up number four. This was yesterday. Somebody sent this to me. Ashland, Ohio County Fair. Ashland, Ohio County Fair. Johnny's going to get it up there for us. I don't know what happened here, John. You're not sure you can pull it up? Okay. Well, I don't. What it popped right up on mine. It goes through my mailbox. Okay. I don't know how I could show you this. Ashland County Democratic Party. It's in Ohio, Ashland County. I wish I could show you the pictures. They're selling buttons. And on a button, God, I wish I could show it to you. There's a picture of a red hat with the word felon written on it. This is the Democratic Party at the fair selling buttons. Felon. Is he dead yet? With a question mark. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Where we are. Okay. So I just want you to take a moment right now in the privacy where you're sitting, the silence where you're sitting. Just confess your faults to the Lord right now. You know what they are. Things you've done, things you haven't done. Bible calls them the sins. This is a sin of omission, the sin of commission. Omission, commission is doing something wrong. The sin of omission is not doing what you know you should have done. Both of them, sins. And I think if we were to really begin to take an evaluation of our own lives, we would find out how deeply involved we are in the sin of omission. Things we should have done, didn't do it. Didn't do it. And I just think that you would maybe just lay those before the Lord right now. Lord, I should have done that. I didn't. I was disobedient. I was afraid. I didn't know what people were going to think. And Lord, you put me right there at that moment, at that time, to speak for you, and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Whether you want to admit it or not, you were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ashamed of it. The Bible says not being ashamed of it is the power of God. Not being ashamed of it. So, Lord, on behalf of half of everybody here, I would confess to you my own cowardice and all the times that I didn't do what you told me to do. I shirked. I shrank in the face of the opponent. I didn't take the opportunity. I ran for cover, and I should have ran towards the battle. Lord, just forgive all of us today for our sins of omission. Give us the courage and the strength through your Holy Spirit to do what it is we know we should have done. Examine your own heart. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread. He broke it. Thank you, John, to keep it up there. He took bread and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take this and eat it, because this represents my body. And whenever you eat, or whenever you drink, or whatever you do, whenever you get up in the morning, remember me. Sacrifice that I made, the breaking of my own body. And when he's done, took the wine. Said, this is my blood. They didn't know it yet. He was going to be crucified. They didn't understand. Said, you're going to have to drink my blood. New and everlasting covenant. I shed this. I made the payment. I dropped mine. I made the payment for you. For the remission of sin. That's kind of good, isn't it? When you get blood in your Bible. As often as you do this in memory of me. And as Joe often says, it's also the meal that heals. We know all that kind of stuff, but Let me give me another drink here. Lord, we drink this in remembrance of your sacrifice on that cross. Paying a price you didn't know. In Jesus' name. Hey, Spencer, real quickly. I'm sorry. Jonathan, we got to take it off the screen a second. And if you could, I'm sorry, folks, I'm gonna show you something here. I'm gonna show you what we just did. Pull up, Johnny, bear with me. Pull up for me. Oh, I'm sorry, man. This is good, though. I want you to see it. Got distracted. That's not it. No. No. Yeah. Club number six. This is what we just did, folks. Before you play it. Our only hope's Christ, folks. Not Republican, Democrat, not Trump, not Charlie Kirk. It's the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling and acting in each and every one of us. And I'm sorry if throughout your whole life, my whole life, they didn't really teach me what dwelt inside of me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in me, that Holy Spirit. And really and truly, we become his representatives here. And whatever he was able to do, we are able to. He said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth, and I'm giving it to you. Go ye therefore. Go do it. Go do it. And somewhere along the line, I don't know where it happened. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, well, that church isn't supposed to be involved in politics. And we removed ourselves. And look at where we are. The Bible says that the whole creation groaneth, waiting for us to show up. Go ahead and play this.
The best illustration of the gospel that I've ever heard.
Once upon a time in a far off country, there was an ancient king who was known to be simultaneously the most loving and just king who had ever existed. Eventually, it was discovered that somebody was stealing from the king's treasury, and because the king was just, he issued a decree. He said that when it was discovered who was stealing from his treasury, that a sentence of 10 lashes in front of the entire kingdom would be visited upon that person for their, as the penalty for their disobedience. The theft continued, and eventually he issued a final decree, 40 lashes would be visited upon the person who was stealing from the king's treasury. But watch this, 40 lashes was a death sentence. So he issued a death sentence. As weeks went by, it was eventually discovered that none other than the daughter of the king was the one who was stealing from his treasury. When that was discovered, a question began to ripple through the kingdom. How could the most loving king who's ever existed kill his own daughter? Some people thought that he would pardon her, but then how would he be just? Some people thought that he would punish her, but then how would he be loving? Well, eventually the king examined it and he said, hey, the law is clear. Sin has taken place. Justice must fall. The sentence must be passed. And the king's own daughter was brought in front of the entire kingdom. And when she got to the front, she was laid over an executioner's table. She was tied to the table. The executioner ripped open the back of her shirt and stepped back. But just as the executioner lifted his whip to issue the first lash, the king stood up from his throne and he yelled, stop! Silently, the king walked forward, bent over his daughter, wrapped his body around his daughter on the stump, ripped the shirt off of his own back, looked back at the executioner and said, now hit her. The executioner objected, king, I can't hit her without hitting you. Now hit her. 40 lashes fell upon the back of the king over the back of his daughter, and the king died, and the girl went free. That was done for you. Because God is just, punishment for sin had to be paid. But because God is love, he chose to make that payment himself. And here's the good news. What you must understand is that when Jesus hung on that bloody cross and he pushed up on his nail-pierced hands, choking to death on his own blood, his final words through his choking breath were the words, it is finished. He did not cry out, I am finished. His words were, it is finished. And if he's not finished, you're not finished.
This is the...
Amen, huh? Amen. Amen. I'm just getting started.
Amen.
I'm just getting started. Mercy follows justice. You gotta have justice. No justice in America. And the way that we can most honor the king is, I hate to tell you this, some public officials need to die. Not that. We're not supposed to go shoot them. No, no. We believe in justice. Go see Abraham Lincoln at the Lincoln Memorial. and engraved on the Lincoln Memorial. Johnny, I know if you can pull that up there, the Lincoln Memorial. A few times I've gone to the Lincoln Memorial and stand there and look at that chair of Abraham Lincoln sit up there and read the scripture that is there. It's Amos. Amos, let justice roll down like a mighty river. See, if there's no justice, if the rich and powerful can get away with it, there is no justice. And the rich and powerful are getting away with it. There it is. In this temple, as in the hearts of the people for whom he saved the Union, remember Abraham Lincoln's forever staff. Johnny, see if you can scroll down. If you can see written right under Abraham Lincoln. Maybe it's over to the other side. It doesn't matter. Trust me. Let justice roll down like a mighty river. Is that Amos? Somebody help me out there real quick. Is that Amos? Let justice roll down. Where is it? Do you know? Mercy follows justice. Mercy, we must have justice. We must have justice.
That 524. Mercy...
Say it again. 124?
524.
But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Hey, no judgment, no judgment, no righteousness. Who are you to judge, they tell us today. Convinced all of the churches, who are you to judge? No judgment, no righteousness. The law, the Bible says, is the schoolmaster that shows you what's wrong. The law is. And the law is the schoolmaster that drives you to Christ. And you can sit in your evangelifish church all you want to and let people tell you how much Jesus loves you, and he did. But he loved you so much that he gave his own life because he hated injustice that much. And all the church wants to talk about today is grace and mercy, grace and mercy. We're dealing with some wicked folks, baby. Well, how do I know that? Well, pretty easy. Pretty easy to see what's going on, isn't it? Now, I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to let you get in here in a second, I promise. Look at that sign. Johnny, throw that back up there again. Here's the picture that I was telling you about. Ashland County Fair, Democrats. Felon. Is he dead yet? They're selling these badges, friends. Resist, fascist, fascism, felon, 8647. See, we don't understand the evil that we're dealing with. We don't understand. And I don't know where you are scripturally and theologically, all that kind of stuff. But the Bible says, boy, if we get near the end, that he's going to be released. He's going to be set loose for a little while. Well, you think he's not? Huh? That's right, David Arthur. This is demonic, folks. We got to stop calling. This is not a mental disorder. This is not a mental illness. This is demonic. Now, hang on. One more thing. We got to recognize our opponent. We have to understand that we can't run elbows and love people who are at war against us.
Amen.
You get it? Pull up for me. Where is it? Help me out, Lord. Number two. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to let you get in here in a second. Okay, this is Charlie Kirk. Who knows how long ago this was? Are you looking at me? Friends, we're in a war, but we're not at war. We'll say it again. We're in a war, but we're not at war. We're not fighting. Go ahead and play that.
At the core of the left, at the core of a liberal, is someone that would use the sword if they had it. They are very violent people at their core. They always have been. They can't debate. They can't have conversation. So they'll resort to these tactics. They're going to do everything they possibly can to try to murder this movement because they can't beat us. So they're going to try to take weapons. And no, we're very aware of that. I'm aware of it. We have to have full-time security. This is not a joke. This is who these people are.
I'm looking for something. Is this it? Oh, dang it. Yeah, it is. Spencer, pull up for me. Demons are real. What number was that, Coach? What number is that we're doing? Bear with me, folks. I know you want to jump in, and I want to get you in there. I just got to make it. Number eight. I think it's number eight. Pull that up, John. Is that it? That's not what I want. No. Lord, which one is it, Lord? It's number eight. Okay, good. You got it. Scroll down. Folks, we're dealing with the demonic, okay? I don't want to... I'll put this in the chat. You can read it, but I want you to scroll down. I'm going down, John. I'm sorry. I'm not yelling at you. Just keep going. This is good. You ought to watch that. Keep going. Okay, here we are. Go up a little bit, just a little higher, Johnny. Over at Blue Street, I don't know what Blue Sky is, where many liberals created. Folks, they're not liberal. They are not liberal. We have to stop using that. We have to call it what it is. The Luciferians. Oh, we hate to say it. Sounds judgmental. Over with many Luciferians created their own little Luciferian echo chamber. We see calls for the next target of assassination. Okay, so here's what it is. Posted on their websites. This is who we are dealing with, okay? This is who we're dealing with. These people want your children. They want to throw your children into the mouth of the devil. Come on, man. They're just serving their daddy. Pop Hiles. I hope they do Joe Rogan next. Nice. Can we do Ben Shapiro next? Yeah, I am a best birthday present ever. I'm laughing so hard. That's what you get, bitch. Die, bitch. That's what you deserve. Ben Shapiro next. So glad his bitch ass got packed up. Ben Shapiro next. They hate Ben Shapiro, don't they? Huh? J.K. Rowling next. Well, I hope they shoot Ben Shapiro next. Matt Walsh next. Folks, these people are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. Scroll on down. There's more. Going down, there's more. Huh? What? Do Matt Walsh. Chira Rush. I don't even know what the hell that means. Do Trump next. Charlie Kirk is dead. Trump next, please. That's the best news. Do Trump next. Do Matt Walsh next. Go down. Rest in piss. Go get Trump next. I wonder how many people are waking up thinking, oh, it wasn't a dream. Now go get Trump. How about Andy? I don't know how to pronounce it. Benny Johnson, Ben Shapiro, Shira Rashik, Christopher Ruffo. They got a death list, folks. Thank God I'm not on it yet, I don't think. Me waiting for someone to get libs. A TikTok like a game of whack-a-mole. Elon next. Oh, do you understand what we're dealing with? Okay, you can get that off there, John. I'm about ready to open it up. I got one more thing I think I'm going to open it up. Funny, because when I was getting ready to come down here this morning, I didn't know where it was going to go. Okay, I'm going to go there. Pull up John 10. Because I'm going to show you the most misquoted and misunderstood verse in the whole Bible. They tell us in John 10, go there first, Johnny, if you would. Slide down to verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief does. The thief. And they've told us over and over, and I hear quoted over and over and over, that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has. He has. But that is not what this says. It's not what it says. So I'm going to take you through this real quickly. We've done it before, but it's important because we get new people regularly. Okay, go to 1 John. Let's do some sentence breakdown, some English breakdown. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Stop a minute. What's the door and what's the sheepfold? Can somebody help me out? What would the sheepfold be in modern vernacular? What would the sheepfold be? Come on, what would it be?
Congregation, church.
It'd be the church. Anybody want to argue with that? So let me change it here a little bit. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that comes into the door of the church doesn't come in by the door of the church, but comes up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Time out a minute. Who's the thief? Come on. Ain't no devil here yet.
Pastors.
Who's the thief?
Pastors.
Yep.
Some guy who got in a pulpit that came up there some other way rather than a calling from God. That's the way I read it. And you go, I don't care where you go, they're going to tell you, oh, the devil comes to kill and to steal and destroy. Well, that's good, but that ain't what it says. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So right now, here, John shows us who the shepherd is and who the shepherd ain't. We ain't mentioned the devil not one second yet. To him who the shepherd comes in, the porter opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice. Who? The shepherd that came in by the door. The sheep hear him, and he calls his sheep by name. Uh-oh! And he leads them out. Johnny, can you highlight that? Can you highlight that? So the real shepherd opens the door, and the sheep follow the real shepherd, and he leads them out. And lead them in. He doesn't build a big old church of 5,000 people. That's not what this says. Nothing against churches with 5,000 people. But if you got 5,000 people, you ought to be leading them out somewhere, dude. If you ain't leading them out, whew, I'm not going to say anything. You tell me what it says. I'm not done. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, in other words, when he sends the sheep out, you ever watch the Ohio State Buckeyes run on the field? Does anybody notice who's the first guy running on the field when the Ohio State Buckeyes come out of the locker room? Anybody know who that is? The first guy running out of the tunnel?
The coach.
The coach runs out, and the guys follow him. This is a picture of the church, friends. He goes before him. The sheep following. And they know his voice. Uh-oh. And a stranger, they're not going to follow. See, the Ohio State Buckeyes aren't going to follow the Michigan coach out on the field. They're not going to do that. Stranger, they won't follow. But they're going to flee from that stranger. They're going to flee from that stranger, for they know not the voice of strangers. So Jesus spoke this to the parable, and they didn't get it. They didn't get it. So, what are you talking about, Willis? They understood not what the things were which he spoke unto them. So Jesus said, well, let me clarify it again here, boys. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. And all that came before me are thieves and robbers. He's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Wait a minute. Ho, 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 ho. Who are we looking for here? Somebody help me out here. Who are we looking for here? I believe we're looking for the thief, aren't we? Are we looking for the thief? I think we're looking for the thief. Because why? The thief cometh but to kill and steal and to destroy. We want to figure out who the thief is. He said, I'm the door. Remember, go back to verse 1. He explains it again. Porter opens the door. Huh? In other words, you got to be called specifically to do this job. You ain't going to take the pastor's job because whatever, because grandma prayed you into it. Go on down, go on down. And here it is. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. He tells you who they are. And then he says this. The thief, hey, Glenn, who's the thief?
The pastor.
The pastor that ain't doing his job. And the phony pastor cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. So the next time you hear somebody say, oh, that devil, he's come to kill and steal and to destroy, they're misquoting it, friends. The devil does come to kill and steal and destroy, but he uses the thief to do it. This must be important. I'm doing the show.
Always sensitive. Can I call Zach?
Yes. Thanks. So Jesus says, thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that I may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling. Johnny, ask Mr. Webster for me. What's a hireling? I'm sorry if this is hurting some of your feelings. It's spending a hireling, a mercenary, a prostitute, one who is hired and serves for wages. Go back, John. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. Some of you have been sitting under hirelings, not shepherds. In fact, I would say, you got to be careful when you use words. Guys who are real shepherds ain't got big churches. I used to go to World Harvest Church. Pastor Rod Parson, nothing against Pastor Rod. 6,000 people in attendance. Think he knew who I was? Think he knew who I was? I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union sitting in his church. He never acknowledged it. Never acknowledged it. But he that is a hire, he that's just doing it for a job, and he ain't the shepherd. Whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. Hey, friends, Glenn, you're pretty smart. Who's the wolf? Because all of a sudden, we see a thief seeing a wolf.
Yeah, well, that'd be wolf? Satan. Yeah.
That would be Satan.
Must be Satan.
The hireling sees the wolf coming, and what's he do? He flees. He leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the folk. He scatters the sheep. And that phony pastor stands. Hey, this ain't my words. The phony pastor standing in the pulpit because he's doing it as a J-O-B. Flees. Because he don't really care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus said, and I know my sheep, and they know me. And as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I got other sheep, but you're not in the fold. Oh, so much for Judaism. I got other sheep that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, one shepherd. And therefore does my Father love me. Does your Father love you? Jesus said, my Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. Charlie Kirk laid down his life. He says, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to pick it up again. Because that's what my daddy told me to do. And there arose division among the Jews. They didn't like what he said. And many said, well, he has a devil. He's crazy. I'm going to open it up. Never again do I ever want to hear anybody in this queue say that Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. Because that ain't what it teaches. We are in the mess that we are in today because in many pulpits, there are hirelings standing in the pulpit. And how do we know they're hirelings? Because they don't care about sheep. In the public schools, little boys are getting their dicks cut off. Not a peep from the pulpit. Somebody say amen, son. I got a friend out there. Huh? Amen.
Amen.
Transgenderism in the public school. Not a peep from it. They go and cheer for the band at the ball game. Why? Because if they begin to speak out, people might leave the church. Don't forget, it's a job. It's a J-O-B. It's a J-O-B. Pastor Clint, you out there?
I am.
I'm not talking about you. Pastor Clint, you leading them out. Are you sheep coming alive, Pastor?
That is as perfect teaching as you can get through the scripture, what you just said.
Amen.
And yeah, I mean, that's what we got to lead them out. If we don't, that's right. You know, got to.
So Pastor Clint, I'm a friend of pastors. I'm a friend of pastors. But I would say to Pastor, hey, when did you last lead them out, Pastor?
Last Sunday.
When did you last lead them out? Not talk to them, not lecture them, not take it through hermeneutics. When did you actually take them out? Because the Bible, that's what it said, John. Go back up there. Go to number one again. Well, I've gone too long. I'm sorry. Verily, verily, say to him, but he that goes not to shepherd, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls the sheep by name, and he leads them into the battle.
Amen.
I don't know how it could be any more clear. And what percentage of American churches lead the people into the battle? Our city council meetings ought to be packed with Christians. Our school board meetings ought to be packed with Christians. Pastor ought to say to his people, we're going to go to the city council meeting. I'm going to be there, and I want you to come and support me. Is that happening anywhere? Clint started to get his butt in trouble because he started to do it. Dale does it. So I'm going to go here, come with me, and they do. Why? Because the sheep follow him. He just don't pay him a big old salary so he can have all those crawfish boils. He leads them out, the true shepherd. And the thief is not the devil. It's the pastor. It's the cowardly pastor who don't want to make waves. Come on in, Dale. I'm done.
Well, Coach, let me expound on that teaching. Remember, when Jesus is talking these kinds of parables, he was talking to people who understood because he was speaking their language. He was talking to farmers and shepherds here. He was talking to the common people. In those days, people had sheep, a lot of sheep. And, you know, they would go into the city and they would get their goods or whatever, and they would go and get whatever in fellowship. But when they left and they called their sheep, but there was a bunch of different sheep there. The sheep knew their master's voice
and would immediately follow him, coach, and separate themselves from all the other sheep. It was incredible, but it's an actual fact, and they knew it. And those guys understood what he's saying. Those who hear my voice, they're my sheep, and they'll follow me.
Hey, Dale, let me ask this. Let me ask this for everybody, all you evangelifish out there. What was Jesus known as? I believe he was known as the good shepherd. Was he not? The good shepherd. And what did the good, where did the good shepherd end up with his sheep? On a cross. Oh, yeah. Not in a big mansion, not in a big house, not with a nationwide TV ministry. No. What does he say? They're sitting in kings' houses. Didn't they say that? That's in a different verse, huh? That's in a different verse. They're sitting in kings' houses. Our religious leaders, look, not all of you. Can I tell you this? I like Franklin Graham. You think he's sitting in some shack down by the river? Or is he sitting in a king's house? Hey, Dale. I've seen that house at old, what's his name, Dale?
Duplantis. Jesse Duplantis.
I've seen that thing, man. I've seen that house. That's a king's house.
And coach, I put in the chat here, either I'm getting old or it's humorous, but I have seen people born in my church. I know every person in my church personally, been to their home. I've seen them born. I was at the hospital when they were born, watched them grow up, now doing their marriage ceremonies and watching them go into the hospital when they're having children. Now, either I know them personally, or I'm just getting old, or both.
Amen. 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 Brett, come on in, Brett.
Coach, I got you. Hey, here in this locker room, you already know we got so many great pastor coaches like Dale and so many others. But who's the thief, coach? That guy that's supposed to lead the team onto the field, but he will let him wear a mask. He let him take a poison shot.
Brett, you played football, right? The coach wasn't at the back of the line, was he? He wasn't hiding in the locker room. You don't see the Ohio State Buckeyes. The coach hides in the locker room while the team runs out on the field. You don't see that. He leads them out.
He is leading the team out. But to be on the team, you have to make a commitment. From the superstar to the water boy to the scout team guy like me, you have to make a commitment. Because you got to show up to winter conditioning and spring ball and fall camp and play the games. You got to survive if you're winning or you're learning. But, coach, who is the thief? That coach that let him wear a mask, that let him poison vaccine?
Oh,
who's the thief? I want to go there. Who's the thief? That wicked coach. But we got to go deeper. Before you go to the pastor, I want to go here. Who's the thief of the father that doesn't read the Bible in front of his kids? Who's the thief that doesn't lead the woman in authority to Jesus? Who's the thief? The man.
It's easy to blame the devil, isn't it? Oh, the devil made me do it.
Look in the mirror. There's the thief.
Wow. Glenn.
Preach it.
Yeah,
I love good pastors. I love good pastors. I do. Dudes, hey, Pastor Clint. You guys got to get out in the streets, man. You got to get out where the public is. You got to get out where authority is. Jesus did. Jesus, he stood before Pilate. What did he call him? What did he call those guys? Brood of vipers, whitened sepulchers full of dead men's bones and all corruption. And Pilate said, don't you understand, dude? I got the power to set you free, or I got the power to crucify you. What did Jesus say? Oh, no, you don't. You ain't got no power over me. Unless my father gave it to me.
Coach, I hate to
interrupt. We sit here in America, and we've made the American government king. Exactly what we ran away from. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, we were out there again Sunday, but we've got a speaker now, an amp, and now our kids are wanting to speak and pray. And so we had them to speak, and we had them speaking and praying last Sunday, and we give out 58 Bibles Sunday.
Mm. Hey, Glenn, I bet some of them in town hate you, because the Bible says you're going to be hated of all men. Hmm. Oh, yeah, you're gonna be hitting.
That was really amazing, Clint. You know, that's the thing that amazed me. When I saw hundreds of thousands of people marching in Great Britain, I thought to myself, these people are out there because they understood what Charlie Kirk stood for. But you don't see that here. You don't see people. I mean, you see small groups, you know, having vigils, and that's good. But man, if the people came out and demanded truth, things would change. But we're not seeing that here. If you could pull up 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and just look at that, that's, I think, where we're at today.
Glenn, let me make this point. It's going to make some of you nervous, and I don't care. The greatest evangelist in the world right now for Christian values is Donald Trump. He may not be very Christian, but he's sure blowing the trumpet for Christian values. Are you guys watching what he's doing? Are you watching what's going on? And see, he's not Christian enough for some of you. We want that sissy guy standing in the pulpit. We wish he was president. I'd say this over and over because people call me and criticize. They don't call me. They criticize me. They email me. You're worshiping Trump. I'm thinking, how stupid can you be? The Bible says that the Lord raises up kings. Donald Trump, love him or not love him, is God's man. Right now, he's God's man. And he will say and do things that other Christian men will not say. Benny, that's a boom. Somebody give me a boom. Don't send me any more emails about how wicked Donald Trump is. He screwed women. He did that. Don't send me any more of them. Because Donald Trump, if you believe, God raised up Donald Trump.
Boom.
That's what I say. Now, it could be for our demise. But you better realize Kamala Harris wasn't God's man. Randy.
Coach, I think we falsely connect pastors as shepherds, okay? I'm not saying a pastor can't be a shepherd, but I'm not saying a pastor is a shepherd because Jesus, what Jesus is doing there in John 10, Coach, he's actually he's speaking to those leaders of that day Jeremiah 23. Okay. He's fulfilling Jeremiah 23 in front of them. He's showing them, I'm the true pastor.
They didn't have evangelist churches everywhere where Jesus was, right? Go ahead.
So what Jesus did was in front of them, he told them, you guys are the hirelings, talking to the Pharisees and the leaders, all those religious leaders of that day. They're the ones trying to trap him. And he's going, you know, you are the ones that Jeremiah prophesied to and said that you are the false shepherds. You are the ones leading my people astray and all you're committing all this evil. Now, okay, Coach, what he connected there, and he says, you're the false shepherds, I'm the true shepherds. It isn't about a pastor, Coach. It's about a shepherd is a leader. It's the leader. It's not necessarily a pastor. Thank God for pastors. But, Coach, you're a shepherd. When you're leading, I'm a shepherd when I'm leading. Anyone when they're leading is a shepherd, okay? They're shepherding God's people. They're leading. Okay, but so what I'm trying to point out here, Coach, is that the people who aren't leaders, who are in authority that shouldn't be there, they are the hirelings, okay? Whether they're in a church pastoring or not, we've got people in authority that think they're in authority all over the place who are actually hirelings who are not they're serving. They're not willing to lay down their life for the other people. That's the proof of the true shepherd. Jesus was the true shepherd because he laid down his life. Charlie Kirk laid down his life, Coach. He was a shepherd.
Yep. Okay. He was.
So now, we have to not only that, he went before him, Coach.
He led them out.
Amen, Coach. Amen. So if when you see people leading with humility and with power, which is power, by the way, when you see people leading like that, those are the true shepherds. When you see people who pull back when the things get hard or when the shot's fired, they run and hide. They're a hireling. So we can all get tested. I think you're right, Coach. Donald Trump has raised up in a time when he's making people be tested. So, you know, in a way, he's kind of a shepherd, whether he's good or bad. He's shepherding. He's leading by example.
That's right.
Look, he's willing to lay his life down. If you go out there in the public and you know they want to kill you every day you go there, are you not kind of laying down your life, willing to be killed for the sheep, for the people? Yep. He's a shepherd, Coach. I don't like some of the things Donald Trump does, but he's a shepherd, Coach. He's a leader.
Well, Randy, here's what we would do, right?
Two.
We criticize Donald Trump for doing what many of us would do if we had his power and authority and money. Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. So we don't know if Donald Trump's in the kingdom. We don't know if he's in the kingdom. We don't know if he's in the kingdom, but we know this.
We need to pray that.
By the way, Johnny, by the way, hang on a second. Johnny, pull that picture again of the hats and all this stuff. I missed the big story here. Boy, I'm about out of time. I missed the big story.
Oh.
Hey, folks.
Or
they threw these guys out of the fair. The Ashland County Fair Board threw them out. That's what we need. No more tolerance, diversity. No. Broad is the way. Narrow is the gate. And Christians, we're going to become more narrow-minded. We're going to become less inclusive and more exclusive. Come on in, Paul.
Just quickly, Coach. Just posted this, 40 Days for Life. This is a worldwide thing that starts today. It's not just a Catholic thing, although I love my Catholic brothers and sisters.
That's right.
And by the way, Coach, I'm glad you told us that. They kicked them out of the damn fair, Coach. I was losing my mind.
If people were rising up, a little bit of testosterone, that's what they would do, right? That's what you would do, wouldn't you? Yeah. And so you tell me that they're teaching transgenderism to somebody else's child, and you don't care? The church doesn't care?
Amen,
you your brother's keeper?
Quickly,
time
Dave. To get angry.
Damn right.
Yeah, Coach, something we're missing here. It says the wolf comes in sheep's clothing. It doesn't come in shepherd's clothing. Sheep's clothing is something soft and gentle. If your shepherd, doesn't have a staff and using it for correction and leading you out, I think you got a wolf in sheep's clothing, somebody soft and gentle.
I'm telling you, man, You don't send a boy to do a man's job. And I want to say, I could go on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking right now, I'm thinking of those who are literally on the front lines and how much they are hated. Folks, do not forget, this is a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. Folks, Christianity is an action sport. It's not a spectator sport. And that's all to become. Go to church on Sunday and watch the guy in the pulpit perform. And if he says something really harsh, don't ever go back there. Go down the road and find some other guy. You'll always be able to find some other guy to tickle your ears. Yeah, you'll always be able to do that. Yep. Amen. Amen. What a time to be alive. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength. They canceled Jimmy Kimmel. They canceled that other guys. We're finally freaking fighting back. Not on my turf, dude. Sorry, not here, dude. No way, not here.
whole creation groaneth, waiting for God's people to show up and be manly. Have a great weekend. It's no Monday.